Let's go to chapter 13 of the book of Revelation. We want to get more information about this Antichrist. This is the first seal that will be released. A description of the Antichrist is found in chapter 13. He's referred to as the beast. Now, that word is used a number of times in the book of Revelation, and it is always speaking about the Antichrist. Verse 1, chapter 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. There's that apocalyptic literature. This is the author using a symbol to communicate an absolute truth. And there are a number of them there. We can only take a few moments to look at some of them. Notice the 10 horns. Well, when we think about the 10 horns, we're thinking about the 10 horns of Daniel chapter 7. And you go to chapter 17 of the book of Revelation, and we're able to see a definition of those 10 horns. In chapter 17, the word beast is used 8 times in a description of the one who will lead the one world false religion. Ecclesiastical Babylon. That's chapter 17 of the book of Revelation. The word whore is used in this portion of scripture 3 times. The word woman is used 6 times, 9 times, referring to an unvirtuous woman. Now, of course, again, this is apocalyptic literature. The Bible tells us that we are the bride of Christ. The true church is the bride of Christ. What's the opposite of a beautiful bride who comes down the church aisle, decked out in a beautiful, long, flowing white gown, depicting the fact that she is pure as she comes to the altar to marry her partner for life? She is saying to the world, I'm a virgin. I am a virtuous woman. I come in purity to the time of my wedding. Well, the opposite of that would be a whore, a prostitute. That's what it's talking about here in Revelation chapter 17. It's talking about a false church, and that's what's going to be in place in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Simultaneously, as the Antichrist appears, thus will also this false church come into existence. When it talks about the 10 horns, we see that also again repeated here in chapter 17. We are seeing a description of this false church and the beast who is leading this false church. Notice verse 3 of chapter 17. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitteth upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy. Now, we read that over in Daniel. We read it also in chapter 13 that the Antichrist will blaspheme Jesus Christ. Notice having 7 heads and 10 horns. Let me just look at the 10 horns aspect of this beast. Verse 12, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which shall receive no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast, 1 hour with the Antichrist. That is the revived Roman Empire we're talking about here. And so this false church will be headquartered or a part of the revived Roman Empire. Notice that it has 7 heads. The 7 heads in verse 3 defined in verse 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains upon which the woman sitteth. The woman here is talking about the false church, the whore. And that is exactly where it will be headquartered, in a 7-hilled city. I must remind you that in 95 AD, when John the Apostle wrote the book of Revelation, the most important city, 7-hilled city in all of the world, was the city of Rome. So this false church will be headquartered in the city of Rome. Notice verse 5 of chapter 17. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, probably mystery, not a part of the title, but just explaining that it is a mystery. So the title would be Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. It's referring to Babylon. That takes us back to the 10th chapter of the book of Genesis, where we see that when God tells Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, they endeavor to do that. Now, Ham has a son named Cush. Cush has a son named Nimrod. And in chapter 10, verse 10 of the book of Genesis, it says that Nimrod had a kingdom, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. We're talking about modern-day Babylon. We'll get more in depth when we study chapter 18 of the book of Revelation and understand the truth that it is a literal Babylon we're talking about. Notice chapter 11 now of Genesis. Nimrod has established his kingdom in Babel, chapter 10, verse 10. Chapter 11, verse 4, and they said, go to, let us build us a city. They're going to become a one-world government with one man in charge. That will be Nimrod. Then notice it says, and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. Last place they wanted to go was heaven. But that's exactly what he says. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. We're talking about the establishment of a religion, a false religion, the Babylonian false religion. Nimrod had a wife. Her name was Semiramis. Nimrod and Semiramis had a son. His name was Tammuz, and they became the objects of worship. They were a mother-son cult. This was the Babylonian religion that was established by Nimrod. Let us build us a tower whose top may reach into heaven. That's symbolic of religion. And let us make us a name. They weren't talking about being the most popular in the world. They were the only people in the world there on the shores of the Euphrates River at Babylon. He was talking about, we don't like the name Jehovah God. We don't like what God said to do. Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. What they were actually saying, we want another name of another God. They were talking about the Babylonian god, Marduk. They wanted no name that would tell them what to do, lest they be scattered upon the face of the earth. Well, this mother-son cult is talked about, and Semiramis, she is referred to in the book of Jeremiah, not by her name, but by her title. Jeremiah chapter 7 and chapter 44 talks about Semiramis as the queen of heaven. And they worshipped her on a special holy day called Ishtar, when they would paint these little boiled eggs with the different colors and lay them out in the field and give the children a little basket to run out and pick up these colored eggs. Sound familiar? Well, indeed it is. That was the activities on this unholy day of worship of the Queen of Heaven, Ishtar. Tammuz, the son of the mother-son cult, is mentioned in the book of Ezekiel. That's chapter 8. In Ezekiel chapter 8, God brings Ezekiel back to the city of Jerusalem, walks him into the temple, looks around, and there's all kind of idolatrous portraits on the wall. He looks up, and he sees a convent of virgins worshiping Tammuz. Chapter 8, the book of Ezekiel. Well, this is the mother-son cult. By the way, they were the objects of worship on this mother-son cult that was established at Babylon and would stay headquartered in Babylon until the fall of the Babylonian Empire in 539 BC. At that point in time, this mother-son cult, this false Babylonian religion, moved its headquarters to the city of Pergamos, the third of the churches mentioned in the book of Revelation, chapter 2. In Pergamos, that's the location where they started to deify the Roman emperors. They had a name politically, the Roman emperors did, and it was Caesar. You didn't think everybody's name was Caesar, did you? No, that was the name for their political responsibilities. It meant emperor, Caesar. But they also had a name for their religious responsibilities. You see, it was in Pergamos, and I've been there when we did some television for Day of Discovery. I can show you the statues, the remains of statues, who have engraved at the bottom the name for the religious responsibilities of these Caesars, and it was Pontifex Maximus. Pontifex Maximus, the major keeper of the bridge. That was too long, so they shortened it to Pontiff, and then they had to shorten it later to Pope. They had priests that would serve them. They wore fish-shaped hats with scarlet and purple outfits. They had a convent of virgins. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm talking about this mother-son cult, the Babylonian false religion headquartered at Pergamos. I'm not talking about anything you may think I'm talking about. This is all recorded. You're hearing exactly what I'm saying. I'm simply talking about historic events that unfolded in the past. Those involved in the mother-son cult, the false religion, called the Babylonian false religion, in chapter 17 of the book of Revelation, they will be decked out as well. Verse 4, and the woman which is referring to the false church, was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Chapter 17 of the book of Revelation, as you study deeper into it, will reveal to you a false church that will be headquartered in the city of Rome during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. It will be headed up by the beast, which is the Antichrist. Notice verse 16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest, that would be the revived Roman Empire, that set upon the beast, they shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. At the end of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, the revived Roman Empire is going to rise up against this false church and destroy the false church. Notice verse 17, and mark it down. We'll refer to it again in a later study. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. Notice what the Bible says. God puts in the hearts of political leaders that which they will do to fulfill his will. The Antichrist will have the revived Roman Empire, these 10 horns, and the revived Roman Empire most likely will be the European Union of today. Now, we don't have time to dig into that study. Let me just simply say, if it's not the absolute fulfillment of the revived Roman Empire, the European Union of today is setting the infrastructure in place for chapter 17 of the book of Revelation to be fulfilled. Well, chapter 13 of the book of Revelation talks about the Antichrist, who is the one who comes to power, who is the one who is energized by Satan. Notice verse 2 of chapter 13. And the dragon, chapter 12, verse 9, describes the dragon as Satan himself. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And then we come down to verse 11. We see another beast. This one comes up out of the earth. This would be the false prophet. So we have in place Satan, the one who energizes a human body to be the Antichrist and a false prophet. And the false prophet, according to verses 12 and 13, will use signs, wonders, and miracles to deceive the entire world. All of this taking place as the Antichrist comes to power. I happen to believe the Antichrist is alive and well on planet Earth. I could say that maybe 10 or 15 years ago, and that same person may not be the one who is designated to be the Antichrist today. I believe Satan has an individual standing by to be the one he will energize to raise to power as this world dictator, the Antichrist. But the truth is, if that one should die, the Antichrist has another candidate in the wing. The Antichrist, that individual who will be a key player in the 7-year tribulation period, he is the fulfillment of this first seal judgment, coming, establishing peace, establishing a false religion in the city of Rome, and starting everything moving into the 7 years of terrible judgment upon the face of the earth. That the first sealed judgment to be released, chapter 6 of the book of Revelation, verses 1 and 2. Next time we get together, we'll look at the remaining 6 sealed judgments. We'll also look at the 7 trumpet judgments, the 7 vial judgments, and talk about the other events that unfold in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. I know that we've not been able to go in depth with all the verses that we brought to your attention as we've studied through the portion of Revelation we've been able to look at today. But this is only to whet your appetite to dig in and to come to a real understanding of this excellent book, a book that unfolds the future for Christians as we look at the terrible time of judgment upon the earth. We'll be in the heavenlies. We'll be celebrating for the marriage supper of the Lamb on the earth, judgment being released. And this is what we'll be studying next time we get together, Lesson 3, as we continue this 4th session of our School of Prophets Institute, a walk through the book of Revelation.